Welcome to the Friday, March 23rd, 2012 edition of the Sand Senate Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and I'm today recording from Orlando, Florida. Let's start today with a little bit of positive news, and that's the anti-bot code of conduct for ISPs. This is a document that came out of a working group of the FCC, where ISPs and other related entities were working on what can ISPs do to help with the ubiquitous bot problem. Well, this is a voluntary code of conduct. It's an attempt by the FCC to essentially tell ISPs to come up with a solution themselves, to not come up with new regulations. I like it, this code. It has really five different parts that it focuses on. First of all, education, where ISPs are supposed to provide resources that help their users essentially protect themselves. Detection, where ISPs will detect if a customer is infected, and then, of course, notify the customer of the infection, and then remediation, give some help and assistance to the customer to actually get rid of the bot. Lastly, collaboration, where ISPs will collaborate with each other to solve this problem. Now, a lot of this may sound familiar to you if your ISP already provides that. That's really the idea here, to codify a lot of the things that are already done and make them more consistent among different ISPs. Being part of the discussion a little bit about this particular code of conduct, one interesting issue that always came up with ISPs is that these measures don't necessarily cost more money. They may actually save money by just reducing the number of help desk calls and such that ISPs are getting from infected customers. First of all, a bot on your system typically means that the performance of your system and your network connection is somewhat degraded. So who are you going to call first? Well, you're going to call your ISP to complain about bad performance of the network connection. And of course, without being able to detect whether or not you're infected, the ISP can't really do much to help you. And in the end, they just wasted support call time and have an unhappy customer. So all of this hopefully will work out quite nicely. A number of large ISPs have already signed up to this code of conduct. Now, what happens if you let bots run wild? Well, a part of that story we got today from Verizon's threat report. Verizon is not just an ISP, but it also provides a lot of security services to its customers, in particular its large corporate customers. And once a year, Verizon is summarizing this in a threat report. Now, the numbers are not necessarily all that terribly representative. It's really just Verizon customers. It's large corporations, but it's still very telling what they're seeing. And one of the issues that came up, of course, this year was hacktivism. The records lost based on hacktivism far outnumber the data lost based from cybercriminals. Where, of course, the sample size here matters again, and how well these other less visible attacks from cybercriminals are actually detected. Hacktivists usually go out of their way to make the breach public after a while, while cybercriminals, of course, once they have a foothold in a network, rather stay silent to keep that foothold. And some of this is also supported by Verizon's report. For example, 92% of the breaches were discovered by a third party rather than the company's IT staff. So attackers are still very good at hiding from internal detective controls, or maybe just these internal detective controls don't exist as they should. Now, over the last few weeks, we did see a good number of faked LinkedIn messages. I think we covered it in the podcast. Not sure if he wrote up as a diary. Those LinkedIn messages, they didn't really appear that special. Well, Trend Micro now has a little bit more detail about those messages. If you click on them, and please don't, of course, you're likely going to get redirected to a compromised WordPress site. These LinkedIn messages, same for some Better Business Bureau complaint messages, are in the end trying to get the victim to click on a link which redirects them to the compromised WordPress site, and that's where then the standard exploit kit kicks in and tries to infect the user. Anyway, this is it for today, so thanks again for listening, and talk to you again on Monday. Bye.